dude.
We know that performances like today aren't going to get us to the supporter shield, so it's about tightening up some of these performances, some of our plays, making sure that we're defending well, and then we're doing the little things that we need to do in the process of trying to get to the supporter shield.
Match preview versus Philadelphia Union.
Oh yeah, it's official. TFC have not yet clinched a playoff berth. Thank you, MLS, for being wrong about that. Dan Riccio, it's a TFC pitch side match preview edition as we get you set for the Philadelphia Union. Saturday, September 24th, 2016, 5 o'clock kickoff from BMO Field. So, yeah, okay. TFC didn't technically clinch a playoff spot yet. But you know what does happen if they win this weekend? They basically can't finish lower than fourth in the MLS Eastern Conference. So there's that to look forward to. And no, I know this franchise may be cursed, but 26 or 27 results are not going to go their way for TFC to miss out on this year's MLS Cup playoffs. We are produced by Emil Delich today, so there may be an uptick in the quality of production in the show. Just a note. Just a note, that he does a better job than I do when I do it solo. But we do have a lot to get to, and we'll start off with this because it continues to be one of the big questions rolling through the final stretch of the season for the Reds, and it is our TFC pitchside match preview poll. Who would you start in goal against Philadelphia, Clint Irwin or Alex Bono? We'll get to that answer in just a little bit. The TFC are coming off a thrilling 3-3 draw with the New York Red Bull on national TV in the U.S. last weekend, which actually got a really good number. The two MLS games, I think L.A. Sporting KC early in the afternoon, and then TFC and the New York Red Bull finished in their 3-3 draw. It was over 1.2 million that actually tuned in to watch those pair of games. Yes, that is across from the National Football League on Sunday, and also posted a better number than Major League Baseball did on Saturday. So for Fox. So those are some good numbers down south for especially a Canadian team in an MLS matchup. But on to this week. Josie Altidore, Michael Bradley, they carried the Reds in that 3-3 draw. Sebastian Giovinco was able to sit out and continue to rest his injuries. We'll get to his status for Saturday's game in just a minute. But it did not clinch the Reds their playoff spot. Again, that's irrelevant. It is. I don't care what you say. It's irrelevant because this team is more focused on clinching the top two spots, certainly the top spot, than they are just clinching a playoff berth. That is not enough for them. They've told us that all season long, and they've played that way all season long, have the Reds.
Dan, have you ever seen so many grown-ass men apologize in writing?
Yeah, I kind of felt bad for John Molinaro. Like, what are you apologizing about? It's not your fault!
But he wasn't the only
like,
one.
Like, if Major League Baseball told you the Blue Jays clinched the playoff spot, would you believe them? Yes, you would. So, you know, I don't blame John Molinaro. I don't blame anybody. Who I do blame is Major League Soccer. But yeah, John, stop with the apologizing, dude. And I know we're colleagues, but no need for the apology. You do a fine job.
Get back in the kitchen. Do what you do best. Make those delicious meals.
Yeah, the seared marlin with roasted linguine or something. In any case, Giovinco is still questionable for the Reds, and they have yet to really get their fully healthy side going. So we'll see if they could do that here in the last five games of the season. This begins a huge three games for the Reds over 7 days, all at BMO Field. If they could take all 9 points, they will essentially be champions of MLS's Eastern Conference. It's not for sure, but if they get the 9 points, it will likely be a statistical probability at that point. For the Union, this may be the biggest game of their season. A win keeps them in contention for a top two spot of the East, and it would also give them still a chance to maybe win the conference, although a very unlikely one. A loss, that pretty much ends the dream. They will have just three games remaining beyond this match, and a loss would see them fall 9 points back of the Reds, essentially eliminating them from top spot contention. But as with all teams not in Toronto or New York / New Jersey, the main goals remain grabbing a home playoff game. This is also the sandwich game in a three-match roadie for the Union. It started in Portland, a 2-1 loss last weekend. Now Toronto, and it will finish in New Jersey. The total trip takes them over 11,000 kilometers. Rack up those frequent flyer miles, will ya? On the injury front, it seemed early in the week that Sebastian Giovinco would return against the Philadelphia Union, but talking to Greg Vanney at training today, he listed Giovinco as very questionable. I asked him if that means he's a game-time decision, and Vanney basically said no. It's likely that they will make the decision Saturday morning. They'll do a final fitness test with Seba before deciding his status for Saturday's game against Philly. He was not a full participant in Friday's training. To St. Ricketts, he remains out. Jay Chapman remains out. Mark Bloom is likely to be available for the match against Philly this weekend. Ever since he had that ankle injury in the game against Houston, he has not played. So that has been a bit of a while for Mark Bloom, who just can't seem to stay on the field. We hope for the best. He's a good dude. And certainly helps the depth of this TFC side. Suspended, if you missed it, Thursday afternoon, news came out, Armando Cooper. I should say that again, shouldn't I? It's kind of expected of me now, isn't it? Yeah? All right. Suspended for TFC this week, Armando Cooper. For his kickout on New York Red Bulls Felipe last week, it was harmless, but it was also dumb. Like, that's probably something he gets away with at Arabe Unido, but not here with TFC, especially on national TV when you have all those different camera angles. No one should be surprised. He was given the one-game suspension. As we mentioned on Monday, there was a bit of a precedent set earlier this season for small kickouts like that with Didier Drogba, who was shown a one-game suspension. In Philadelphia, they will have Maurice Adu, Walter Restrepo, and Tranquillo Barneta, all questionable for Saturday's game. Adu has yet to play for Philly in quite some time. It seems like some of the talk is that he may be available for the match. Josh Yarrow, he is suspended. He has been shown two yellow cards last week in Portland in that loss. That means Ken Tribbett gets to play against TFC again. And if you remember back to the last time these two teams met, he was an absolute nightmare and was subbed off at halftime when Philly had conceded three goals. So according to our game guide, Philly is expected to line up in a 4-2-3-1. Jim Curtin has Andre Blake in goal. Keegan Rosenberry, Ken Tribbett, Marquez and Fabinho round out the back line. Alejandro Bedoya, Warren Craval as the two-man holding midfielders. Herbers, Barneta, Pontius are the three attacking midfielders, and CJ Sapong is the lone striker, as usual, for the Philadelphia Union. That is their expected 11. Good note here, if you are expecting some controversy at BMO Field on Saturday, Ishmael Elfath will be the referee. 18 red cards, 22 penalties given in his 79 games in charge. None of those 22 more memorable than earlier this season when TFC conceded a penalty to Orlando in the 90th minute, allowing Kaká to score the winning goal and send Orlando to a 3-2 victory over the Reds. Down at the Kia training grounds,
Who was the referee when they played KC?
Baldomero Toledo.
And he will come up later in this preview.
Oh, that's correct. I can't wait for that. Anytime we can shed light on a bad Toledo moment or on a holy Toledo moment, we should do it. So we will. Down at the Kia training grounds, Greg Vanney obviously wanted to weigh in, or we wanted him to maybe shed some light on who will be the goalkeeper against Philadelphia, but Greg continues to hold that close to the vest.
We've got two good goalkeepers that are ready to play. Yeah. So, yeah, and it's the same thing. I mean, I'm not going to give any of the other 11, 10, so I'll leave that at bay. But we've got three games this week, and there's a likelihood that between the two of them, they will they'll each get some opportunity over the course of this week.
So Vanny, with a little bit of Bill Belichick in him there, you know, learning from the great Patriots coach. Never really trust what Vanny is saying, I guess, down at the kid training grounds, although I guess he is being honest in this case, just not telling us who will be the goalkeeper. My suspicion is that it will be Alex Bono once again. I'm not sure I agree with that, but not that Bono has done anything to really lose the job. I don't think you can really blame him for any of the goals. I just think this team's probably better long-term right now with Clint Irwin in goal. And you got to get him in at some point. There's only five games remaining, so that's what you need to do. TFC Pitchside match preview poll. You weighed in, and 67% of you are currently saying that Clint Irwin should get back in between the pipes. Though Paul says, I like Bono more as a keeper, but I understand Irwin is far more experienced, so I can't really understand what you're saying, Paul. I'd get why he would play instead. There we go. That makes a little bit more sense. Also, Jordan says, ride Bono till he loses, then assess from there. And that may be the way Greg Vanney is going.
Does it worry you that the three goals he gave up last weekend was the most amount of goals he's given up since he's taken over?
I don't think so. I mean, that was more so mistakes, defending mistakes. I mean, what's he supposed to do on that third goal for Bradley Wright Phillips or the second one? I mean, it's tough, but maybe there's just a little bit more calm, a little bit more experience with Clint Irwin in goal. So I do think this team is best when Irwin is probably back in goal, and they've never really been at their best with Clint Irwin in goal. So
at this very moment, they're equal in appearances, 15 apiece.
Yeah, 15 apiece. Wow, that's incredible. And certainly Bono has the better record, but TFC have certainly gotten better as the season goes along as a whole. Also, talking to Vanny and mentioned to him that, well, I'll let you hear the question because I think it's kind of funny how it all played out. So here is Greg Vanny down at the Kia training grounds.
A win tomorrow basically cancels any chance of Philadelphia catching you guys in the standings. How much does that factor into your talks with the team this week to have that killer instinct?
Well, that specific point hasn't been made, but I'll use it. Thank you. You know, most of our discussion has been on the killer instinct in general of being at home, right? And to finish with the way we finished the game last week, to have that kind of intensity as we play and to have that kind of urgency as we play. Because when we play like that, it's hard for teams to handle us and manage us from an attacking standpoint. And obviously eliminate some of the mistakes. But I think all year we've talked about, you know, teams that come into that we're playing, and especially when they come into BMO, if they're behind us, we make sure at the end of the day they stay behind us, ideally as far behind us as possible, meaning we pick up 3 points and really push them back. But if we have any intention as a group to win the East and to vie for a supporter shield, this week will be an important week, and I think it's always critical and ideal to get the week off started with 3 points, right? And so to try to create more separation from Philly, and the other results aren't in our control, but obviously those will determine how the supporter shield race goes and what kind of distance we can gain if we can take 3 points. So I think it's a vital game. I know the guys, we don't have to talk about too much of that stuff anymore. I'll tell you the difference last year was me convincing them a lot that they were ready for these moments. And this year, I don't have to tell them. They know exactly what's going on there. They know what they're trying to achieve. They're confident in what they're capable of doing. And so they know what's in front of them.
Yeah, and that is going to continuously be something that I want to see, and that is the killer instinct. TFC, a lot of times in big games, have laid duds. They've also had some big games where they've come through this season. But as producer Emil Delich just mentioned to me, if they had won that Montreal game, they are pretty much free and clear right now atop the Eastern Conference. So this is another chance for them to do that, and certainly basically ensures them a home playoff game. Even if it's not one of the top two spots, you're ensuring a home playoff game. So that is huge to get this win this weekend and really make sure that Philadelphia has no chance of qualifying ahead of you for this season.
And you would say that was a top three goal coming in.
Yeah.
That was a playoff game.
Like I said, the goals were always this. First, clinch a playoff spot. They've done that, essentially. Then it's clinch a home playoff game. Very close to doing that. Should do it this weekend. Then beyond that, it's one of the top two spots in the Eastern Conference. If the Supporter Shield happens, whatever. Win the Eastern Conference. That's got to be the most important part. So last week, we talked extensively about Eric Zavaleta. And look, I was one of the first guys to question Zavaleta's place on this team and what he really added to it at the beginning of the season. And over the course of the year, I've had to admit that I was completely wrong on that. Zavs has had an incredible season. He's the reason TFC were able to shed that salary with Damien Parquet. His surge to the top and really the fact that Vanny has him penciled into the starting 11 every week is testament to how good he has been. And remember, this is even with the three goals given up to the Red Bull last weekend, this is still easily the best defense in the Eastern Conference. And by easily, I mean TFC have allowed 32 goals this season. No other team in the East has allowed less than 40. So yeah, Eric Zavaleta has been quite good. And that's like that 32 goals, that's with three games where you gave up four to Vancouver, you gave up three to the Red Bull, and three to the Red Bull again. So right there, that's 10 goals you gave up in three games. Outside of that, you gave up 22 in the other 26 games played. Kind of impressive. And Eric Zavaleta has been a big, big part of that. Talk to him about the mistake from last week, the slip from last week, and good on him for owning up to it. And also about the goalkeeper situation and what the two guys, Clint Irwin and Alex Bono, provide and what each of their specialties really is.
Now Ashton Morgan. Morgan with the cross into the middle, and it's headed in! Toronto FC a level! Eric Zavaleta, the former Sounders player, returns to CenturyLink and scores the goal that ties the game.
TFC pitch side here at the Kia Training Grounds with defender Eric Zavaleta. Thanks for doing this. I don't think we've had you on the show yet this year, but you've had quite the season. How's it kind of been for you since you became a starter and really getting into that your first year in the MLS and being a regular starter?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because as of now, I'll be playing less games this year than I did in the previous 2 years, but in that same token, I feel like I'm a guy regularly on the team sheet, a first choice kind of guy this year, which has been a big step for me and an exciting step for me, and it's something that I hope to continue to build on as we finish the year.
Talked to a lot of guys on this team, and they always seem to say that Drew Moore has been a huge addition in terms of leadership. What's he done for you there, kind of helping you out through this season?
Yeah, he's a steady guy, a guy that knows the league and that knows the position well, and he's a guy that I can learn from on the field, obviously, with his positioning and decisions he makes and helping me make those decisions in games, but also on the training ground, just having an open dialogue between the two of us just to make each other better. But he's also the ultimate professional. He's been doing it for this long and is able to play so many games still at this age for a reason, and he takes care of himself, and it's something that I'm not necessarily such a young player anymore, but something that I can still learn from as my career goes on.
Now last week against the Red Bull, the second goal, the slip, it's got to be tough. Did you kind of want to run away and hide right there, or are you okay to just get right back at it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one to take. You know, nobody wants to be that person, but at the same time, you know, people make mistakes. I made a mistake. It wasn't my night, and that happens, and it was important for me to try and push past that, continue to have a good game, and then
let it be. It's gone. It's in the past now. I've watched it. I've learned from it. And the only thing I can do is move forward and continue to build on the strong performances I was putting out before.
What does Greg say to you after the game? I know I've talked to him about it already, but you know, you kind of, he says to just look at the entire season and what you've done as a whole rather than just try to focus on that one moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think he said similar things. You know, it happens to everybody. It's a mistake. It's not a testament to the player that I am. And you learn from your mistakes. You don't learn from times going well. And it's something that I'll definitely learn from and make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Hey, even Steven Gerrard's had a slip, right?
Yeah.
Happens to everybody. Looking in goal, Alex Bono's done quite a job, and there's all this talk about who's going to start in goal the next game. What does each one, Clint Irwin and Alex Bono, do, and what makes them different, but also what makes them quality in their own special way?
They're both shot stoppers. They're both good at that, and credit to Bono for, especially after having a big mistake in his first game, to be able to bounce back the way he has and for us to feel steady in him the way he has been great. He's made it hard for them to take him off the field, and I think that's what a coach wants, because you'd rather have two good options than two bad options. And, you know, the credit to him, I think I feel safe with him behind me as well as Clint. Clint obviously was having a great year prior to injury before, and, you know, he makes big saves for us. He's a calm presence back there, and they're both tidy with their feet. So they both bring good qualities, but, you know, ultimately we'll be happy with either one behind us.
So you guys got the three games this week. If you win all three, you pretty much, not for sure, but you seal your spot atop the Eastern Conference. Is that the goal, get all 9 points, or just take it one game at a time?
I think going into any stretch the way we are, especially at home, I think the ultimate goal is to take as many points as we can, especially at this point in the season, with the supporter shield still up for grabs, with our goal of winning the East still up for grabs. And we really wanted to be a top two team in the East and secure for sure a playoff game at home. That's really important for us to do for our club and also for our fan base, and it's something we're going to push for. But understanding still that you know, we got to take it one game at a time. Philadelphia is a team that's had a great year as well, and that are pushing for an important spot, and we'll focus on Orlando and then DC after that. But it's one game at a time, picking up as many points as we can.
Eric, thanks for this. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
So there is Eric Zavaleta, and again, thank him for joining us. First time he's been on TFC Pitchside this year. We'll venture to get him on with the Monday show eventually, and Thomas can ask him some real dumb questions, as is the norm. Or Thomas can ask him about what he thinks of the media coverage TFC gets in the city. It's Thomas's favorite question, right? But Zavaleta, on another note, like, there's two things that I've been really impressed with. And one on the field, his ability in one-on-one situations. Oftentimes doesn't matter who the opponent is, but he's very, very good in one-on-one situations, defending in one-on-one situations. And number two, his youth. He and Nick Haglund are the youngest defenders on this TFC side. Clément Suminen included. He's a little bit older. Ashton Morgan, older. So for Zavaleta to have the kind of breakout season that he has had, and yes, I think his biggest question mark is in possession, but he's gotten better with that over the course of the season. Really take out the New York Red Bull game. Outside of that, he's gotten better through the course of the season with the ball at his feet, at least in my opinion. And also remember this, when all you Vanny haters out there keep talking about it, Siggy Schmid couldn't develop Eric Zavaleta. A lot of people think Siggy Schmid is one of the best coaches in MLS over the last few years. Obviously, he's without a job now.
He used to coach Vanny.
Yeah, he used to coach Vanny. But Siggy Schmid couldn't figure out how to develop Eric Zavaleta, moves over to TFC, and certainly Greg Vanny has gotten the best out of Eric Zavaleta this season, certainly. Still some room to grow, I think, too, with Eric, as he is just really, in defender terms, still a young kid at 24 years old. Earlier this season, these two teams, they've only met the one time, and it came in Philadelphia about a month ago, August 20th, Talon Energy Stadium. And aside from one defensive miscue, this one was all Toronto taking over Philly.
Johnson. Alderaan. Shielding it. Coming into the box. Alderaan! And it's three for Toronto.
big again.
Oh, yeah, Ken Tribbett still has nightmares about Jozy Altidore and that game. Really, three great goals from TFC in that game. If you look back at the highlights, all of TFC's goals were of the nice variety, to really dumb it down for you. It was Sebastian Giovinco first, Drew Moore with a diving header, and then Altidore sealed the deal, and that was, I believe, Altidore's second start since coming back from his hamstring injury, and really about the time when he started to get going. You know, I'm just looking at whoscored.com right now, and over Altidore's last 6 matches, he's got a whole ton of goals, 6 goals in those 6 matches, and 4 of the 6 times, according to whoscored.com, he has been the best player on the field, the highest rated player on the field. That's a pretty impressive run. And it basically started way back when TFC first played Philly. And yes, Ken Tribbett still having nightmares from that first half. And he was subbed off at the half. TFC will get to see Ken Tribbett again. And it also marked TFC's 4th straight win over the Union after previously going winless in 7. Let's take you back to 2010, quickly before we do our Did You Know and 3 keys to the game. But 2010, what happened in 2010? Well, it was the first time TFC played the Philadelphia Union at BMO Field.
Looking for O'Brien White. Sykes makes the run after it. Down went White. Bogdanero Toledo's making a run upfield and pointing to the spot.
UConn. The touch from O'Brien, Seitz catches him late. The assistant referee was right on the spot, he waved his flag early. Toledo, the referee, sprinted to the middle. There's O'Brien White, he gets that last touch just at the moment to escape.
De Rosario strikes and scores! Toronto leads!
Well, again, De Rosario.
Yeah, Dwayne De Rosario with a couple of goals. Baldomero Toledo giving TFC a good chance in this game as he sent off Danny Califf, most famous for his time at TFC, of course. Danny Califf. That's not true. Played 4 games with the Reds. But yeah, he sent off Danny Califf for an elbow on Julian de Guzman, and then gives TFC a late penalty as that sees them through to the 2-1 victory over the Philadelphia Union on that day in 2010. And those were the only 2 goals Dwayne De Rosario ever scored against the Philadelphia Union, and he is tied for 2nd all-time in TFC scoring against Philly. The other 2 players, one is Jozy Altidore, the other, and really, like, he's... I want to tell you this because when he was on, he was one of my favorite TFC players of years past to watch. He was just so rarely on. He was kind of like the Alexei Kovalev of MLS. Just didn't always have it. Didn't have it often enough. Maicon Santos is the other one with 2 goals for TFC against the Philadelphia Union.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
Yeah, I was always, like, well, not always impressed by Maicon Santos, clearly. But that was way back in 2010. Baldomero Toledo won't be the ref this week. It will be Ishmael Elfath. So maybe just as bad. Quite possibly. Did you know last time Philly beat TFC at home was September 6, 2014, a 2-0 loss for the Reds? 27 of the 47 goals Philadelphia have conceded this season scored in the second half of games. Remember, TFC only scored in the first half against Philadelphia. And 28 of the 49 Philly have scored have come in the second half of matches as well. So maybe the second 45 really going to be the more exciting 45? Possible, the way Philly's games have gone earlier this season. Philly, by the way, they only need 3 more goals through their final 4 games to set a new franchise record for most scored in a single campaign. And yes, Ken Tribbett, mentioning him again because he will start for Philadelphia this weekend. At least that's the way it's looking. And he's only played once since his nightmare against the Reds in August. And that, a 3-0 loss to the Chicago Fire. Hasn't been a good run of play for Ken Tribbett, and that's why he hasn't gotten into Jim Curtin's lineup all that often. And finally, a win for TFC will set a new franchise record in points with 50 for the season.
Major key alert.
Thank you, DJ Khaled. Number one, turnovers in midfield. One of the big issues TFC had against New York was their pressure in midfield. They gave their opponents too much time, too much space in the mid. And if you look back at the Philly game, they did a great job of pressuring in that midfield, creating turnovers, which led to quick transition goals. Look at both of those reasons in the Giovinco goal and also the Altidore goal. Do that again and TFC should take their 3 points. Though you have to believe Philly will be more cautious in their approach as they are on the road. Set piece defending. The Union have the third most goals from set pieces in the league this season with 11. The last time they played Toronto, Ken Tribbett, yes, his name comes up again. He scored with his head before continuing his defensive miscues. Especially away from home, look for Philly to really try and take their chances with any and all set-piece opportunities. Score first. I mean, it's simple. I mean, it doesn't really take a whole lot of knowledge to know that TFC are a whole lot better, and most teams are when they score first. But TFC, they don't win when they don't score first. If they allow the first goal, they are 0-8-6. When they do score it, they are 13-0-1. So, TFC want to put Philadelphia in their rearview mirror for good this season in the standings. Get that first goal, and things should be all right. There are your three keys to the game against Philly. Again, it's a 5 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. I'm not sure why they decided to change the kickoff time just for this game, but it's a 5 o'clock kickoff, not a 7:30 kick. And, of course, it is a triple game week for TFC. They get Orlando on Wednesday at BMO, and then next weekend, DC United at BMO Field, a game I will be attending in the stands rather than the press box. Did want to mention on TFC pitch side, Dan Riccio, before we let you go, and nobody should really be surprised by this, but Kyle Larin was named the number one player in MLS under 24 in their column 24 under 24. So Kyle Larin takes the cake for that, and why wouldn't he? He's been all kinds of awesome in his first two seasons of MLS play. No sophomore slump for him. And really, if you look at Orlando, they wouldn't kind of be near the playoffs without Kyle Larin. So good for the kid, and we hope it continues. And yes, maybe we'll get into this a little bit more on Monday, but there has been some talk of Kyle Larin moving over to England. So we'll check in on that and see what kind of reality that is for Larin and if it's the best move for his career. We also want to know, if check out the list at MLSsoccer.com. It's posted all over the place on their homepage. 24 under 24. Larin is the only Canadian. He's really the only one that isn't. Well, who else was on the Canadian teams? Kakuta Mane of the Caps was on that 24 under 24. Don't think any Montreal players were on that list, and certainly no TFC players were on that list. So did any of the TFC players get snubbed? I'm looking at Jay Chapman, Tsubasa Endo, Marky Delgado. I don't think he'll ever get... I know he has his limitations, but he's also a very solid player in this league, if you think about it, for how much he's done. And he's just 21 years old. I think we continuously forget just how young Marky Delgado is. And, of course, not Jay Chapman. Jordan Hamilton. I always get those two mixed up because Jordan Hamilton has Jay Hams as his Twitter handle. But, yeah. Jordan Hamilton possibly could be on that list as well. I don't think they listed any goalkeepers. That's why I didn't mention Alex Bono, because, of course, Andre Blake would then be in that 24 under 24.
I feel like there's more hate for this list than people actually.
Yeah, probably. It. You know, I don't know. It's a dumb list. If you're 24 years old, you're not really a prospect anymore. So I don't get why 24 is the number. You want to do 20 under 20? Okay, that'll make sense. 22, under 22, maybe I could see that because you have a lot of college players that come into MLS. But 24, I mean, that just seems such an arbitrary number. Dan Riccio, TFC pitch side match preview. You're all set. We'll see what happens with the lineup tomorrow. Again, Sebastian Giovinco, very questionable for the game. To say Ricketts is out, Jay Chapman's out. So should be a lot like the lineup that you saw last week against the New York Red Bulls as TFC gets set to face the Philadelphia Union, who are currently winless in three. And a win for TFC once again basically clinches them a home playoff berth. That's it for us. For producer Emil Delich, he'll take you out with a Polaris Prize winner. He tried to tell me the artist's name. Yeah, I couldn't figure it out.
Kay Trinata. He's very, very...
I still don't get it.
Breaking ground. This individual's breaking ground for Montreal. A lot of respect. Polaris Prize Award, usually awarded to indie musicians. They're stepping out of the norm and they're rewarding it to somebody who's very deserving of the award. Young musician out of Montreal. Very cool. I think Dan would like it, actually, if he heard it.
All right. Well, maybe I'll, when I'm listening to this on my drive home and doing an air check, I'll see if I like the song. How about that? Thanks for listening, guys. Please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes. Always do appreciate it. And it tells the bosses that we're doing something good here. So, thanks very much. We'll see you on Monday. We'll be right back.